Hello, everyone. Hello. This year is dedicated Li'ilui Nishmas, Rachelei Abbas, Reb Chaim Tzvi. Sfiras HaOmer. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is discussed by the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Vav. And he presents the basic hashgafic message behind Sfiras HaOmer. The Sefer HaChinuch, we know, gives the reasons for all the mitzvos. He gives the reason for Sfiras HaOmer as well. And he says as follows. Kol Ikaron Shel Yisrael Eino Ela HaTorah. The Ikar of Yisrael is the Torah. Mipnei HaTorah Nivru Shemayim Va'aretz. And the whole world was created because of the Torah. Kemo Shekasev Imu Avrisi Yomam V'Layla, etc. A Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. That if not for the Torah, the world would be destroyed, Rachman Olatzan. There has to always be learning Torah. So the main Ikar, and he goes on. V'hi HaIkar V'hasiba. And this is the main reason we left Mitzrayim. The reason we left Mitzrayim was to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. That's why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Who says so? The Torah said so. Hashem himself said so. Back in the beginning of Shmos, in Perek Gimel, the Chinuch quotes, Kmo Shamar Hashem LeMoshe, as Hashem himself said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when you leave in Mitzrayim, you'll serve Hashem, you'll serve me. Hashem is saying, on Har Sinai. So, the basic message of Sfiras HaOmer is to show the link from Pesach to Shavuos. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. The direct goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. So Sfiras HaOmer shows and reflects that link, that connection. When you count from one thing to another, you're showing they're connected. You don't stop count in the middle of nowhere. Counting Sfiras HaOmer means there's a connection. I'm starting from the beginning up to the end, from the beginning up to the goal. So the basic hashkafic message of Sfiras HaOmer is that the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. And this, in the end, makes sense. Yetzias Mitzrayim means we're free. Free to do what? Free to wander around? No, we're free to serve Hashem. That's what the freedom means. Freedom means the freedom to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't know how to serve Hashem properly until we receive the Torah on Har Sinai. This is the basic message of Sfiras HaOmer. So this idea is actually reflected in many Makaros, that the whole goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. And again, that's expressed in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. For example, Rav Hirsch discusses this all himself in several places as well. On Pesach, the korban offered was a korban of barley. The Minchas HaOmer was from barley, Seorim. And on Shavuos, the korban offered is the korban Shtei HaLechem, of wheat. And the Torah actually describes that when you're counting Sfiras HaOmer, you're counting from the offering of the Omer on Pesach up until you get up to the Karban on Shavuos. How come Pesach is barley and Shavuos is wheat? So Rav Hirsch explains, but others explain this as well, as follows. Barley in the Chazal always symbolizes animal food. Doesn't taste as good, it's for the animals. Wheat, on the other hand, symbolizes human food. People eat wheat. We enjoy wheat. The better bread comes from wheat. So you're building up from the barley up to the wheat. What's the pshat? So Rav Hirsch says as follows. This is Rav Hirsch in Parshas Emor. Vayikra Perakuf Gimel. The Omer was brought from barley flour. But barley flour does not really represent human food. It is Michael Behema. He quotes the Gemara in Sota. Adaf Tesvav. It is accordingly in the Omer merely physical existence, which appears to be granted by possession of the land. On the 50th day, after 7 weeks of counting of the days and weeks, going upwards towards Tara, then, the Jewish nation approaches the altar of Hashem with the real human food, bread made from wheat. In other words, Pesach, the symbolism is primarily the physical freedom. Of course it's spiritual as well, but the spiritual freedom, it's just the beginning, the potential. We're physically free. So a carbon of animals, we're physically free. But that our bodies are free. But a person has a neshama as well. And our neshamas aren't fully free until our neshama knows what to do. You have to know what to, how to serve Hashem, to know the mitzvos. Until we know the mitzvos on Shavuos and Matan Torah, we don't really have that full freedom, the freedom to serve Hashem. Freedom means freedom to serve Hashem. Oh, and Shavuos at Matan Torah, we now have our physical freedom from Pesach. We have our complete ruchnius freedom because now we have the Torah on Shavuos. So now we have a carbon of the human food of wheat because we have the full freedom of humans, human able to make use our Bechira Chafshis to serve Hashem. It's a beautiful idea. Physical, the physical geula up to the more spiritual geula, the barley up to the wheat. That's what Rav Hirsch writes. Well, a similar idea. Rav Hirsch points out, we're in Mitzrayim. We're in Mitzrayim for 210 years. And finally we're free. Finally we're free. So you would feel, what would your emotion be? What would your emotional state be after 210 years of slavery that finally you're free? Relief. It's over. Rav Hirsch says that's the point of Sfiras HaOmer. The day after you go free, what do you begin at? Number one. Again, that's the symbolism to show you at the beginning. To show you at the beginning that the leaving of Mitzrayim is only a beginning. It's not the goal. See, this is actually an interesting question which the Rishonim raised, that the Chinuch himself raises. We count Sfiras HaOmer counting down upwards from 1 up to 49. Why not count downwards? When you're looking forward, some of you count downwards sometimes. So how come we count upwards? That's a famous question with different answers. Rav Hirsch here is giving one of the answers, that the whole message of Sfiras HaOmer is to view Pesach as a beginning. Oh, so therefore, the day after you leave Pesach, the day after Yetzias Mitzrayim, you start at number one. That exactly captures the message that Pesach is the beginning, leading up to the goal. Thereby, Rav Hirsch writes, these achievements are first of all in general taught to be not as the end, the goal, but only as the beginning of our national efforts. And that's reflected in counting one right away after you leave Mitzrayim. Another aspect that shows from Pesach up to Shavuos and Sfiras HaOmer is the link. In another place, this is not as explicit, but it seems to me this is what Rav Hirsch is saying. Well, it's striking. Am Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael right around the time of Sfiras HaOmer. If you look in the Psukim, at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, and look with the Navi with Radak, because the food from the Man was running out. And now they had to have food from the land of Eretz Yisrael. But it was Aser to eat the Chorosh, it was Aser to eat the new food from the land until they brought the Karban HaOmer. There's a whole discussion there. Look in the Psukim with the Radak. So it's striking. We entered Eretz Yisrael to coincide with the time period of Sfiras HaOmer. What's the idea? So it's like this. Sfiras HaOmer again symbolizes going from the physical up to the spiritual goal. Oh, we're taking over Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be an independent nation in Eretz Yisrael. Now, national independence for a strong economy, a strong army, those aren't the ultimate goals. The goal is that when you have control of Eretz Yisrael, that you use it for the ruchnius goals that it's supposed to be used for. That we have to realize we're conquering Eretz Yisrael physically with our strong military, you know, of course with Hashem's help. And then we're going to take and use Eretz Yisrael for its ruchnius goal of using it for Avodas Hashem as a nation, serving Hashem as a nation. So, the hashkafic message of Sfiras HaOmer, Am Yisrael is supposed to apply that exact message to our entry into Eretz Yisrael. It's a very deep idea. I think Rav Hirsch here is saying that. Oh. Oh. Rav Hirsch writes that the freedom, with all its inherent blessings, including the possession of the Holy Land, acquires worth, reality, and meaning only through the principles of the Torah. So we entered Eretz Yisrael during this time to teach us, to train us. Having Eretz Yisrael and having the strength of Eretz Yisrael and the economy and all those things, It has to be used and dedicated for Ruchnius goal. Don't be satisfied with the physical control. Use it for the Ruchnius goal. So it works out beautifully. It's not a coincidence. I mean, nothing's a coincidence in the world of the Torah, but it works out very nicely. We can understand it, that we were supposed to apply the message of Sfiras HaOmer to our entry into Eretz Yisrael and to focus on using it for the Ruchnius goals. For the Ruchnius goals. Oh. So these are all ideas that show that Sfiras HaOmer, from the physical up to the spiritual, the goal of Pesach is to receive the Torah on Shavuos. Oh. It's interesting that this is a halachic point. We don't say the bracha of Shechianu by Sfiras HaOmer. It's a mitzvah that comes once a year. Why is there no Shechianu? That's a question which the Rishonim raise. There are different approaches. The Or Chaim, one of the Rishonim, he's quoted by the later Sfarim, he says, you know why there's no Shechianu of Sfiras HaOmer? Because the Shechianu on Shavuos covers, in a sense, includes Sfiras HaOmer. That's what he writes. Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting up towards Shavuos. The whole Yesod of Sfiras HaOmer is to show we're counting up towards Shavuos. That's the link up to Shavuos. So therefore, the Shechianu on Shavuos covers Sfiras HaOmer. Sfira is that link from Pesach up to Shavuos. There's another idea. This is more subtle. I didn't find this explicitly in the Rishonim, but I found it in a recent Achron, in a Sefer, and I discussed it actually today with Rav Nevensol Shlita, and he said it was a very good idea. It's as follows. There is a mitzvah of Simcha on all the Yom Tovim. Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. Okay. Mitzvah deraisa of Simcha. B'samachta b'chagecha, it's in the Torah. It's striking. The Torah does not mention the mitzvah of Simcha by Pesach. It's mentioned by Shavuos. It's mentioned by Sukkot a few times. Not mentioned by Pesach at all. Now, the Chazal learned it out. Chazal learned out that just like the Simcha on Pesach and Shavuos, there's also Simcha on, just like the Simcha on Sukkot and Shavuos, there's also Simcha on Pesach. But it's very striking. Why doesn't the Torah mention the mitzvah of Simcha by Pesach specifically? There's a mitzvah there. But why is it learned out? So I saw in the Sefer, HaSeder HaAruch, it's a liquid. He gathers everything about Pesach and the Seder. He quotes this. He doesn't quote this original source. It could be his own idea. The following idea, and again, I've never saw Shlita thought it made sense, as follows. The Simcha of Pesach isn't really complete until when? Until Shavuos. So the Torah is hinting to this idea. The Torah is saying, yeah, there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Pesach, but you should understand that the Simcha of Pesach is intertwined, it's linked up with Shavuos, because the whole Simcha of Pesach is that you're leaving Yitzrayim to get the Torah on Har Sinai. So therefore, very subtly, this is a deep idea. It could be the Torah is pointing a hint. The Torah itself is hinting to this idea that the entire goal of Pesach is to receive the Torah on Har Sinai, and therefore the Torah doesn't mention Simcha specifically on Pesach, but rather the Simcha of Pesach is in a sense tafel. It's an addendum to the Simcha of Shavuos to teach you that the real Simcha of Pesach is only completed when you get to Shavuos. It's a very beautiful, it's a very deep idea actually, to show that the yesod of Pesach is to lead up to Shavuos. This is Sfiras HaOmer, the link from the physical beginning, the physical geula of Pesach, up to the spiritual geula of Shavuos, the ultimate goal. Well, I mentioned earlier, there's a famous question that how come we count upwards for a sphere, not downwards? You know, when you're looking forward, let's say you're coming to the end of school, near the end of the school year. So sometimes kids, you know, they can't wait for, they're looking forward to vacation. So then they count downwards. 10 days until 9 days, when you're looking forward to something, you count downwards. So the Chinuch asked that question, why don't we count downwards? Okay. So he gives, there are different answers that are offered. So based on this idea that Sfiras HaOmer is the link from Pesach to Shavuos, and we're counting from the physical beginning of Pesach up to the goal of Shavuos, so one could say the following idea. Earlier we mentioned from our first the idea that you're starting from one to show that Pesach is the beginning. Another idea, parallel idea, is this. I actually heard from my Rebbe of Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal many years ago, and later I found it's also in the Hagyoni Halacha of Rav Mirsky Shlita. He said very. They said in a very beautiful pshat. since we're counting from the physical beginning of Pesach to Shavuos, so when you're counting the 49 days, what are you counting? You're counting levels. Every day, closer and closer. Pesach is the physical freedom. That's the beginning. Then I'm working, 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 and I'm counting levels. If you're counting levels, it makes perfect sense to count upwards. Level 1, 2, up to 49. It's a beautiful idea. If you take this approach from the physical beginning of Pesach up to Shavuos, then that's a very beautiful angle on why we count upwards instead of downwards. We're counting levels, levels of growth, one level at a time. Maybe the most powerful source, the most powerful makor, that Sviras Omer is this link from Pesach to Shavuos, it's like one long time period, is the famous Ramban in Parshas Emor. It's in Vayikra Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Vav. The Ramban, in describing Sviras Omer, refers to Sviras Omer as, like, Cholol Shel Moed, the Chol HaMoed from Pesach to Shavuos. We have the first day of Pesach is Yom Tov. Then we have Chol HaMoed. Then we have the seventh day of Pesach is also Yom Tov. Okay. The Ramban says that in a broader sense, the seventh day Yom Tov of Pesach is like the beginning. Shavuos is Yom Tov at the end. And Sviras Omer is like Chol HaMoed. It's not Mamash Chol HaMoed. It doesn't have the halachas of Chol HaMoed. But he says it's like Chol HaMoed in that it's linking Pesach to Shavuos. That language of the Ramban highlights this point. Kicholol Shel Moed. What a powerful line. That really shows Pesach is linked to Shavuos. What's the link? Sviras HaOmer. One final point along these lines is the term Atzeres. Atzeres is the particular word that's used in the Torah to describe the 8th day Shmini Atzeres and the 7th day of Pesach. It's called Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is called it. It's called Atzeres, Shmini Atzeres. And in the Chumash, in the Torah, in Chumash Devarim, I think in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah refers to Pesach, the 7th day of Pesach as Atzeres. Why that term? What does that term mean, Atzeres? And why Dafka Dozer Yom Tovim? So there are different approaches in the Mefarshim. So one approach is, Rav Hirsch develops this approach, and others say it as well, that Atzeres means to stop, to hold on to. Stop, maintain your position. That's what it means to stop. So our first explains, when you have a yom tov spans a long period of time, the last day of the long span is, okay, stop. Use today to hold on and maintain whatever you've gained during the yom tov. So atzeres is used when you're closing, not a day of yom tov, when you're closing a time span of yom tov, 7 days, 8 days, it's called atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the end of that time period of Sukkos, then you have Shmini Atzeres. The seventh day of Pesach is the end of that time period of the 7 days of Pesach. Our first actually explains very interesting, very very beautiful explanation. See, Shmini Atzeres is the end of closure for the time span of Sukkos. It's also the closure of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos, like more broadly speaking. That's why he says Shmini Atzeres is a separate Yom Tov. It's not actually part of Sukkos. It's playing a double role. Shmini Atzeres is the closure of Sukkos. It's also the closure of the broader series of Yom Tovs, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. Rav Hirsch explains the idea is that Atzur, stop. Hold on, maintain your position. After you've had 7 days, 8 days of Yom Tov, after you've had a series of Yom Tovim, have one special day to maintain your position and hold on to that which you've gained. Whatever you've gained from the Ruchnius of the Yom Tov, you should hold on to it and have a special Yom Tov that's designed to absorb and maintain your position, Rav Hirsch writes in Emor, before you re-enter the hurly-burly of everyday life. That's what he writes. That's what the English translation says, hurly-burly. If you know German, I mean, it's interesting to know what is the original German for the phrase hurly-burly. So that's Rav Hirsch and others say similar ideas. So, based on this Ramban, we find something interesting. Chazal referred to Shavuos as, good guess, Atzeres. Chazal referred to, not the Torah, but Chazal referred to Shavuos as Atzeres. Why is Shavuos called Atzeres? Why did Chazal call Shavuos Atzeres? There are different approaches. Based on this Ramban, you have a beautiful approach. Shavuos is the end of this time period, this end of this series, the way the Ramban explains what we've been developing till now, from Pesach, Sfiras Omer, up to Shavuos, it's all one big unit. And Pesach is the beginning, the mini end is the seventh day of Pesach, but more broadly speaking, the end of the whole unit is Shavuos, so it fits beautifully that Shavuos is called Atzeres, like the seventh day of Pesach, and like Shmini Atzeres as well. So this is Sfiras Omer. Okay. This is all what the Torah talks about with Chazal and Rishonim, some beautiful ideas. Therefore, it's very clear that based on the Chumash, and based on the Mefarshim, and based on the Chazal and the Rishonim, Sfiras Omer is what type of time period? Is it a happy time, maybe a serious happy time, or is it a time of Avelos, a sad time? It's a happy time. We're getting ready for Matan Torah. If you look in the Chumash, you look in the Chinuch, look in Chazal, look in the Rishonim, Sfiras Omer, the basic hashkafic message is, we're excited, we're anticipating. It's a serious time. Hachana from Matan Torah is a serious thing. But it's a happy time. Getting ready for, like Chol HaMoed, getting ready for Matan Torah. Not Avelos. So on its fundamental level, Sfiras Omer is a zman of simcha, getting ready for Matan Torah, anticipation, getting ready for Matan Torah. Of course, we know that nowadays, starting from around 1,000 years ago, Sfiras Omer has become a time of Avelos. The Gemara describes in Yevamos, on Daf Samach Bet Amud Beis, that during this time of the year, Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died. He had 24,000 students. The Gemara says 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, and they died during this time of the year. And the Gemara says, why? Shelonagu kavod zeh bezeh. They somehow didn't treat each other with proper respect. Okay. And because of that Gemara, because of that historical phenomenon, so we've developed over time, certain minhagei avelos have developed in the halacha, and they're the halacha now, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, the tour of the Shulchan Aruch, that we keep certain aspects of avelos during this time of year. We don't haircuts and shaving, and we don't get married during this time of the year. So this is very interesting. This is very interesting. Sfiras Omer has a completely new element that's really came out the opposite. Totally different from what the Torah describes. In the Torah's time, it's serious, it's simcha, and now, it's become a time of Avelos. So we have to understand that when we are in this time of the year of Sfiras Omer, it's not pure Avelos. It's a mixture. A Jew should be happy. I'm excited. Matan Torah is coming. Shavuos is coming. Everything we described till now. Pesach up to Shavuos. At the same time, we have Avelos over Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. It's not a contradiction. You're supposed to have both. But it's very interesting, just to highlight this point, that this time of year, it's not pure Avelos. I just heard recently, there's a Rav, Rav Yonasan Sachs, Shlita. Big Talmud Chacham. He's a Rav in Passaic and a Rebbe in YU. And I heard a shir of his where he quoted a beautiful source where one of the Gedolei HaPoskim, Rav Avadi Yosef Shlita, uses this point halacha l'maisa. It's a fabulous source. It's in Yochavadas, Chelk Aleph Simon Kaf Dalad, as follows. Rav Adi there is discussing a certain halacha about Sfiras Omer. You know, he's discussing saying Shechianu during Sfiras Omer. Can you say Shechianu during Sfiras Omer? The bracha of Shechianu, a new fruit, a new clothing. He says we should use the 3 weeks as an example. By the 3 weeks, the halacha is you don't. Say Shechianu. You're not supposed to buy new clothing in 3 weeks and say Shechianu. So Rav Avadia writes, L'chora should be the same. He says, but it's not the same. He says, you can't. Rav Avadia writes, Halacha l'maisa. You can't use the halachos of Avelos during the 3 weeks as a model for Sfiras Omer. Rav Avadia writes, you can't use the halachos of Avelos during the 3 weeks as a model for Sfiras Omer, because he quotes these makaros, because Sfiras Omer is a Yom Simcha. Get away from Matan Torah. He quotes the Ramban, that it's like Chol HaMoed. So Sfiras Omer is not pure Avelos. The 3 weeks is Avelos, but Churban Abayis, it was getting worse and worse. Sfiras Omer is a mixture. There's Avelos over Rav Yosef Yehudim dying, but there's also the Simcha. Getting away from Matan Torah. And Rav Avadia there quotes, like many other poskim, that Taka during Sfiras Omer, one is allowed to buy new clothing to say Shechinah. There are different customs. There are different customs, halacha l'maisa. But Rav Avadia there writes, you can't use that as a model. This is why. So we see that this idea that Sfiras Omer is a combination of the Simcha over the Matan Torah and also the Abegus over Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. It's that mixture. It's used halacha l'maisa. Okay. So that's Sfiras Omer. It's that interesting, very interesting combination. Okay. The question, of course, is why? Like, why did Hashem work it out this way? It has to fit. Everything in Torah Judaism fits. Nothing's by chance. Hashem orchestrated world events. He orchestrated history that it would work out that in this time of the year we would have the Minhagi Avelis during the Simcha Matan. Like, why? Hashem could have worked it out. You know, you'd have the Minhagi Avelis. You know, Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim could have died, like theoretically, during the 3 weeks. So you would have had Avelis for this and Avelis for that. And it was blended together. So it's a fair question to ask. And the Mefarshim discussed this. It's a fair question to ask. How does it fit? How does it blend together? How does the fundamental hashkafic message of Sfiras HaOmer on a level of Daraisa blend and fit with the other hashkafic, halachic and hashkafic idea of Avelus, which began much later in history, based on the tragedy of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying? So there are several approaches to this point. I hope to have Hashem to discuss today two or two and a half. We'll see. Okay. Is the question clear? Good. So the question is clear. How do these two things fit together? All right. Now, the simple answer is, and this is brought down in many Sfarim. Again, I saw it in the Hagyoni Halacha, but he quoted earlier ideas. The simple answer is Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. That's a statement from Chazal, and that is as follows. You want to get ready for Matan Torah? Matan Torah, you have to work on your midos, your Derech Eretz, one person to another. And if you want to have the proper hachana for Matan Torah, a person has to work on his midos, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. The Rishonim quote the Minhag of learning Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos. Why? This is the reason. Pirkei Avos, this is one of the reasons. Pirkei Avos talks about midos, derech eretz, having proper behavior, ben amu chaveiro. And as part of our hachana from Matan Torah, we have to work on our midos, on Pirkei Avos, and derech eretz kadmo l'Torah. Derech eretz kadmo l'Torah. So now, Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died, the Gemara says, because shelonagu kovod zeh b'zeh. Somehow, and again, all the Sfarim right was on it. They were great people. It was very high level. On their very high level, somehow there was some point that they were making a mistake and they were punished. But again, it's on their level. Somehow they were lacking kavod zeh b'zeh. The pashup shot is we'll get to another pshat in a few minutes. Bezus Hashem. The pashup shot is they were lacking kavod somewhere in their midos, but on the chaveru. That's the pashup shot of the Gemara. In other words, they weren't having kavod zeh b'zeh. There was a lack in their derech eretz. So, when we are keeping minhagim of avelus during Sfiras HaOmer, we should be thinking about why we keep these minhagim. Because Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died, and they were lacking in derech eretz. So we should be internalizing this message and thinking about the reason for the avelus, and then working on our own midos and derech eretz, and then the minhagim avelus blend in perfectly to our hachana from Matan Torah. Again, this is a beautiful pshat. This is the pashup pshat. Derech Eretz Kadmo. Rav Nevensol has this pshat in his sichos in Parshas Emor, but others have it as well. Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. So Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died for a reason. The Gemara says, "Lo Nog Kavod Zeh B'Zeh." They didn't treat each other with proper respect. So we should be thinking about why we have the Avelus, because they died. Why did they die? Because of the lack of Midos and Derech Eretz. Oh, we have to learn from that in our own levels to work on our Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. So this is the simplest pshat of how the whole discussion of the Avelus of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim blends into our Chana from Matan Torah. Just to sharpen the point, and this actually fits with Sefer Chavetz Chaim, but this is in the Sfarim. If you look in the Marsha, in the back of the Gemara in Yevamos, when you learn any Agadah to Anshas, the first place to look, of course, you always learn Rashi, the Marsha. The Marsha explains all the Agadahs and Shas. If he doesn't explain it on the spot, sometimes the same agarata shows up in two or three different places. So the Marshal will say, look over there, I explained it somewhere else. The Marshal says he conjectures, again, on their level, the aveira that they somehow were involved in somehow was Lashon Hara. Because the Gemara says that they died from a certain specific disease, Askara, Aleph Samach Kaf Resh Hei. And the Marshal quotes, other places in Chazal associate that particular punishment with Lashon Hara. So that's what the Marshal's specific, that's what his approach is. And again, if that's true, then certainly we should be working on Lashon Hara at this time of the year. But whatever the reason was, that's what the Marshal says, whatever the reason is, this is Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, and this is how Rabbi Yehuda's Tamidim dying fits into the broader theme, and our Avelis over it fits into that theme, and we should be thinking about that as well. Okay. Regarding Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, so Rav Neven Saul Shlita has some beautiful ideas about this, where he points out, and this fits in perfectly, this whole Yesod, Rav Neven Saul points out that Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah is in the Chumash itself. Within the Chumash itself, we find references, hints to Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. The Torah is given in Parshas Yisro. Okay, the middle of Parshas Yisro. So Nemetzel points out, if you look at the previous two episodes before Parshas Yisro, before Matan Torah, one at the beginning of Yisro, and the other two at the end of Bishalach, we have three examples of Moshe Rabbeinu himself showing Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah in Mamish, the Chumash itself. Number one, when Am Yisrael is fighting Amalek, so Moshe tells Yehoshua, go fight Amalek, and Moshe says to Yehoshua, Bichar Lanu Anashim, choose men for us, Lanu. So Moshe Rabbeinu includes Yehoshua and himself in the same word, Mamish the same word, Lanu. Moshe was much greater than Yehoshua. Moshe was giving extra cover to his Talmud, extra cover to Yehoshua. By saying Bechar Lanu Anashim, including Yehoshua with himself, Moshe was giving cover to his Talmud, cover to an important person. That's proper Derech Eretz, to give you an extra cover. If you can give cover to someone, give cover to someone. Oh, that's one idea of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Two, during the war itself, so Moshe's hands were raised and he was davening and his hands were held up. Moshe got tired. Moshe became tired. So the Torah says he sat on a rock. Why didn't Moshe sit on a pillow? Why on a rock? Why didn't he sit on a comfortable pillow? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Tainus that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nosei Ba'ol Im Chaveiro. Am Yisrael had Tsaros. They were fighting a war. And if Am Yisrael is having Tsaros, fighting a war, it doesn't make sense that he's sitting comfortably. He's sitting comfortably. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to share in the pain and share in the burden of his fellow Jews. And therefore he sat on a rock during the war when he was tired, instead of sitting on a more comfortable chair, a more comfortable pillow. A second example of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Third, in Parshas Yisro, Yisro comes to greet Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. And the Medrash describes that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in teaching Am Yisrael, paskening questions. He was running Am Yisrael. He was the manning of Am Yisrael. And when Yisro comes, Moshe stops. And he goes out to greet Yisro. Yisro at the time was not Jewish yet. So Moshe Rabbeinu stopped his job, an important job, of governing Am Yisrael, getting ready for Matan Torah, Pashup Shad, in the order of the Chumash. Either way, there's a machlokas whether it's before or after Matan Torah. Pashup Shad, stop getting ready for Matan Torah to go greet Yisrael, his non-Jewish father-in-law. Why? Hakaras Atov, his father-in-law. He married his daughter. Yisro helped him when he was in Midyan. When Moshe goes out, the Medrash describes, Aaron goes out. When Aaron goes out, there's a Kenan. There's a Kenan, then all of Am Yisrael goes out. So Moshe Rabbeinu leads all of Am Yisrael out to greet his father-in-law when he comes to see Moshe Rabbeinu. That's right before Matan Torah. That is Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. This is a fabulous pshat. Rav Neven Saul points out three examples in the Chumash itself. In the Chumash itself, right from Matan Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu was showing Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Oh. That Medrash, which Rav Nevin Saul quotes as part of the Derech Eretz of Moshe Rabbeinu. It always reminds me of a beautiful story with Rav Gusman, Rav Yisrael Gusman Zatzal, one of the greatest Gedolim of the previous generation. Rav Gusman was a great Talmud Chacham in Vilna, and at a very young age, he was placed on the Beis Din, as a Dayan, on the Beis Din in Vilna with Reb Chaim Ozer. Reb Chaim Ozer was the leading Gadol of his time, and the leading Beis Din, and at a very young age, in his early 20s, Rav Gusman was on the Beis Din in Vilna. And then Rav Gusman, Rachmana Litzlan, he was caught in the Holocaust, and he survived in Europe, and he somehow survived during the years, and he was running around from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. He was in the forest, and there were times during the Sfarim write, they write about his life, that if a person thinks he's going to die, Rachmana Litzlan, he's supposed to say, Vidui. And Rav Gusman said Vidui many times. He thought his mamash about to be killed. Somehow he survived. And after the Holocaust, so he came to America for a while. He had a yeshiva in America. Then later he came to Eretz Yisrael. And he had a yeshiva, Netzach Yisrael, in Mechavia. Oh. So there are several famous stories about this. So number one, it's well known. There was a small little garden area outside the yeshiva. Rav Gusman himself tended to the garden. You know, to water the plants and things like that. Why? So he explained that when he was running from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in the forest, so there were times where he actually had to survive, he was eating shrubbery, different things that he found in the forest. So he mamish felt hakaras atov to the land, to the vegetation, to the land. It kept him alive. And just like we find an idea, there's hakaras atov to people, there's hakaras atov to the land. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't perform the mak, you know, he didn't perform himself. Tom, the makos that they related to the Nile River or to the dirt, because that protected him, as Rashi quotes. So just like Moshe Rabbeinu showed special karas tov to the land, to the water, Rav Gusman showed special karas tov to the flowers, to the vegetation, and he took care of the little garden. Oh, there's another story. That one time Rav Gusman was quote unquote caught cleaning up the yeshiva Erev Shabbos. Whatever, he was doing something that was beneath his cover. You know, normally yeshivas clean up Erev Shabbos, the sleeping, the floors, whatever, the bathrooms. He was caught quote unquote caught cleaning up Erev Shabbos. The Talmidim said, Rebbe, what are you doing? Rebbe, it's beneath your cover. To be cleaning up, you're washing the floors Erev Shabbos. It's beneath your cover. So the story goes, Rav Gusman answered, when I was in the Beis Din in Vilna, I was a young man, I was in my early 20s, and one time I came in late to the Beis Din, to the room, and the Chofetz Chaim was visiting Reb Chaim Ozer, he was visiting Vilna. So when I came in as in my early 20s, Reb Chaim Ozer stood up for me, when I was in my early 20s. And when he stood up, the Chofetz Chaim stood up. And when they both stood up, the whole room stood up for me, when I was in my early 20s. And Rav Gusman said, that is enough kavod for a lifetime, I can wash the floors in the yeshiva. Oh, somehow that picture, first Reb Chaim Ozer, then the Chofetz Chaim, then everyone else, that's this medrash. First Moshe Rabbeinu, then Aaron, then the Zakenim. That's a fabulous story. That's Reb Gusman, a super giant of the previous generation. So this is the standard, the simplest, most straightforward pshat. How do we blend these things together? How do you blend in the avelus over Kivis Talmidim dying with the simcha, the excitement of getting Matan Torah? That's how they blend together. It's part of our Hachana, Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. That's one pshat. Okay. There's another pshat, and this pshat is said over, it's found in the Hagyoni Halacha, and he quotes it from Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal, and there's a similar angle in the writings of Rav Yibaro Chaim, Rav Nevin Saul Shlita. And that goes as follows. You see, it's interesting. This punishment for Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, it appears to be pretty severe. Okay, again, we don't know how Hashem runs the world. It seems pretty severe. So, Rav Aaron Cutler said the following idea, B'derech Efshar. Rav Nevin Saul had a similar approach as well. The Gemara describes that after these 12,000 pairs of Talmidim died, The world was shamayim from Torah, was desolate. And then Rabbi Kiva found five new Talmidim, and he rebuilt Torah from them. These five Talmidim became some of the leading Tanaim, which means that these 24,000 who were Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, they would have been, what would they have been? They would have been the Tanaim, the Balei Masorah. That's what they would have been. In other words, that's the level they were at. You see from the other five who came later, this is what they would have been. Now, so they would have been the Balei HaMasorah, capital Beis, capital Hamem, Balei HaMasorah. The ultimate, they're the Balei HaMasorah. Their names would have been in the Gemara and Shas, always quoting these great Tanayim. Now, Rav Aaron explains that when you learn Torah, you have to focus on getting to the Emes, getting to the correct pshat. And if I want to get to the correct pshat when I'm learning, so one of the terms that it's in Pirkei Avos, dibuk chaverim, talking to your friend, dibuk chaverim, that I have a pshat, and you argue, and we argue back and forth, and if you have a personal agenda, I want my pshat to be right. If you're a bit of a Baal Gaiva, then only my pshat is right. If you don't take your friend's view seriously, then you're going to miss things. Dibu chaveri means that you discuss, you argue, but you have that objectivity. Hey, if what he's saying is better, yeah, you know, that's right. That's the MS. So Rabbi Aaron explains that Rukivis Talmidim lo nogu kavod zeh bezeh. They didn't treat each other with proper kavod relating to their learning. In their learning, there was a problem. And this many of the Sfarim write, the Gemara doesn't say 24,000 Talmidim. The Gemara says 12,000 pairs. Many Sfarim write, that's the remez, that it was the pairs of Chavrusas, they weren't treating each other with respect. So Rav Aaron writes that had they lived, they would have been a Balei Masorah, but the Masorah would have been corrupted. Because somehow, because they were lacking in the midos, it would have affected the Torah learning itself. And that's why they were punished. And that's why, in a sense, and again, we don't know exactly how Hashem runs the world, but the Masorah has to survive properly. So that's why they were, in a sense, that might be why they were killed, because the Masorah has to be preserved. They would have been the Tanoim. They would have been the Tanoim. This is what Rav Aaron writes. Kol pagam b'chisaron b'darkei akinyan b'akabola shel Torah goring with pagam b'chisaron b'etzem haTorah shekana. Oh, and if you want to pass on the Masorah, it has to be, the midos have to be perfect, and this won't be Torah Hashem Tamima. This is what Rav Aaron writes. It's in the Mishnas Rabbi Aaron in the Hashkafa in the Chil Gimel near the beginning. He quotes this idea, a very deep idea. Oh, so that's how, and that also explains how it fits into our Chana for Matan Torah. One of the lessons of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying for us becomes the importance of the Masorah and how we have to be so careful to keep the Masorah intact, keep it intact basically as perfectly as we can. That the message of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying is that it reflects the importance, the almost infinite importance. This is the Masorah. The Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu down to us. This is the Masorah. And if the Masorah is going to be corrupted, that's such a terrible thing that Hashem, the Masorah can't be corrupted. And that's why these 12,000 pairs of Talmidim died. This is not the same as Derech Eretz Kodmah. There's another angle. There's no contradiction. It's a parallel shot. Another angle. The message is the chashivos, the importance of the Masorah, what it means that we have a Masorah, we have to keep and guard the Masorah, and that's part of our Chana for Matan Torah. When you receive the Torah on Shavuos, it's not just about receiving the Torah, it's about receiving the Torah and maintaining it and guarding it and keeping the Masorah going. And this is a very important Yesod to keep in mind as we're entering up to the time period coming up to Shavuos. So this is the Vort which Rav Aaron said. Oh. Just in the last few minutes, Rav Nevensal Shlita has a similar angle. And he found here, I think it's a Chiddush, I didn't see it in another Sfarim, he found it's along the same lines, that the Lano Kovod Zeh B'Zeh related to the Limud HaTorah, and therefore Therefore, Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, so had they lived, they would have been Tanoim, and somehow the Masorah would have been imperfect because of this lack of kavod in the learning. But what specifically was the lack of kavod in the learning? So it's very striking. Rabbi Nematzel quotes the Gemara. I didn't see other Sfarim quote this and connect it, but it seems to be very connected. There's a Gemara in Menachos, on Daf Samech Ches Amud Beis, and it describes that one Tana, the Tana's name was Yehuda ben Nechemiah. And this Tana, Yehuda ben Nechemiah, there was a certain question being discussed. And apparently Rabbi Tarfon, an earlier generation Tana, he was unclear about something. And Yehuda ben Nechemiah had clarity, he made a comment. And seeing Pasha trying to think about, he was right. So there was a discussion, and the older Rav, Rabbi Tarfon, didn't have clarity right away, didn't know the answer right away. And Yehuda ben Nechemiah piped up and had a good shot, and he said a good shot. Oh, that's what the Gemara describes. Now, when Yehuda ben Nechemiah saw that he was right and he knew something more than Rabbi Tarfon, the Gemara says, Sohavu panav shel Yehuda ben Nechemiah, his face lit up. He was happy. He got the Rebbe. He knew it, and Rabbi Tarfon didn't. And somehow, the Gemara describes Rabbi Akiva was there. And Rabbi Akiva thought that there was a problem here. There was a problem with Yehuda ben Nechemiah's midos, that he was happy that his Rebbe didn't know, he knew his Rebbe didn't know it. And the Gemara describes Rabbi Akiva gave him Musar. And he said, Yehuda. He says, Yehuda, you're happy. Yehuda, tzava panecha, shenitzachta et hazaken. You're happy that you beat the old man. The Gemara says, Timahani im tarich yamin. I'm not sure how long you're going to live. Rabbi Akiva was describing, that was a very serious aveira. And the Gemara there describes that this Yehuda ben Nechemiah Taka, he died between Pesach and Shavuos. That's what the Gemara describes. So Rav Nevensal says, very interesting. You have a case where Rabbi Akiva himself is pointing out a problem in someone's midos regarding learning, and that person dies between Pesach and Shavuos. Rabbi Nevensal thinks this Gemara, this is a fabulous find, this Gemara might be the secret to the Lano Kavod Zeh B'Zeh. What's the pshat? Each one was learning, and each one was a great gadol, but he was happy if he knew it and the other one didn't know it. No! When you're learning Torah, when you're in the Masorah, you want everyone to know it. Because the more people who have the MS, the better chance of further MS developing. If I know a lot, and you know a lot, and he knows a lot, so all together, again, it blends in with what Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal said as well. But apparently, that Gemara is teaching us the Lankavod Zeh B'Zeh was that they weren't excited, they weren't happy that someone else is also a Gadol B'Torah. And this, and again, and if that's how they were feeling, that's how they went through their lives, again, the Masorah is going to be impacted. Because at some point, they're going to want to keep the Torah to themselves, and if I know it and you don't, and then the chance of the Masorah being corrupted is much greater. So this is a similar pshat to Avaron, is not another pshat, that this is the Mida to be working on now, as part of our Chanufa Matan Torah. I work on my Kabbalah's HaTorah, I should be happy, my friend knows something, good, the more he knows, the better. He knows more than I do, wonderful, Baruch Hashem, it's good for Am Yisrael, more people know more Torah. And that's the Mida to be working on. Oh. So just to review, we discussed with many examples that Sfiras HaOmer reflects the link from Pesach to Shavuos. Pesach is not an end, it's a beginning. We're building up from the physical beginning of Pesach up to the spiritual goal of Shavuos. The Ramban actually refers to Sfiras Omer as Kichol Shomoi from Pesach to Shavuos. So it's clear in the Torah, in Chazal, in the Rishonim, Sfiras Omer is a happy/serious time. But a happy time. Then along came the Avelus, the Minhagi Avelus, which developed much later in history based on Kippur's Talmidim dying. Oh, and And now we have two themes during this time of the year. So we have Avelus, but we have to remember it's both. It's not just Avelus, it's both. Oh, and we quoted a beautiful, it's from Avad Yosef, that he points out that because of this combination, you can't use the model of the 3 weeks, the Avelus of the 3 weeks, as a model for Avelus of Sfira, because it's a different world. Because on Sfira, it's some Avelus, but it's also the Simcha of Gerneif Matan Torah, so the rules might be different. They might not be as strict as the rules of Avelus during the 3 weeks. That's why each case has to be judged on its own merits, what the Lacha is. Oh, so that's the description of the what we're feeling nowadays between Pesach to Shavuot, Sfira Somer. Okay. So the question is, why? Why did Hashem work it out this way? That the Hashgacha worked out, that we have this combination. We don't know how Hashem runs the world, but somehow, what are the Chazal say? What are the Mefarshim say? How does it fit? How does it blend? How does it fit together? Nothing's by chance. Nothing's by coincidence. We describe two approaches. The standard one is Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. We have to be working on our Midos now, Derech Eretz, as we're ready for Shavuos and Matan Torah. And since the Gemara describes Rabbi Kiva Siminim died because somehow of a lack of Derech Eretz, Lo Nogu Kovet Zeh Bezeh, so the reason behind the Avelus, that's what we should be thinking about, should motivate us, inspire us to work hard on our Midos as well. So therefore, the Avelus blends in to our Hachana from Matan Torah, like we learned Pirkei Avos this time as well. That's one shot. That's more the standard shot. The other shot, which we quoted from Rav Aaron Kovler Zatzal and Yebud Ochaim, a similar shot from Ibn Evansal Shlita, is that it's about the Mesora. That because of the lack of Midos, it was having an impact on the perfection of the Mesora. They weren't having proper Midos regarding their learning, and the Mesora would have been impacted, and that's in a sense might be upset how it fits that they died. They died as part of preserving the Mesora. And Ibn Evansal added on a beautiful find. He connects that Gemara in Menachos, Daf Samech Chesamid Beis, where it describes Rabbi Kiva giving Musar to someone. It could have been it was his Talmud. Rabbi Nevinsal assumes he was his Talmud. It's not explicit in the Gemara, by the way, but he assumes that that's the connection. He assumes that, Rabbi Nevinsal assumes that Gemara, Misvara, that Gemara is exactly the remez to what the problem of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, what the problem that they had was, and that they want to keep the Torah for themselves and not for their friend, and that's something we should, and these are things we should be working on now as part of our Chana from Matan Torah, to understand the importance of the Mesorah, that the Mesorah has to remain perfect, and to understand that when it comes to learning, put your gaiva away. If your friend has a good point, I want dibuk chaver, I want to hear what my friend has to say, to argue, to get to the emes of to get to the emes of what the Torah is, and a similar angle, to be happy if my friends know more, and that helps the Mesorah develop better. If more people know more Torah, that's better for the Mesorah. And I should be hoarding things for myself. Okay. This is a second approach to how the Avelus that we have during this time of the year blends in with the original idea of Sfiras Omer, the Simcha, of, and the anticipation of getting ready for Matan Torah. Okay. We'll stop here.